We turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 12 and we'll read through the end of the chapter. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We take as our text this morning verses 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, there are three great truths that we can glean from this passage. First of all, thanksgiving is not limited to one special occasion or one day. And we know that well. We're called to be giving thanks in everything. Just as we're called here to rejoice evermore, to pray without ceasing, we're called to be giving thanks always. Secondly, thanksgiving in everything means thanksgiving for everything. Nothing lies outside the scope of that for which we express thanksgiving today and every day. And finally, thanksgiving is the fruit of God's grace in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Giving thanks is a profoundly spiritual activity that flows from faith as God works that faith as a gift in our hearts. These three admonitions that are found here in this passage are impossible by nature. The only possibility of heeding these admonitions is by faith. And God works that wonder by which we are able to stand before Him and to confess, as verse 24 set forth, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. One of the reasons why thanksgiving is so difficult for us is because as God's children living in the midst of this world, we live in such a thankless age and society. We live in an age of entitlement where thankfulness is not present as it ought be. We live in a society, in a country where people have so much, but they don't have everything they could have, and they don't have everything that they want. And there's always something more that they desire, and something more that they realize they could have. And so instead of being thankful, there's always that longing and that desire for more. The result then is that things are not appreciated. What we have is not sufficient. We're not thankful for what God has given, but we're always reaching out for something else, thinking foolishly that if only we had this, then we would be thankful. If only I had a boyfriend or a girlfriend. If only I had a ring on my finger. If only I had a child. If only I would be able to have a nicer house or a nicer vehicle. If only. And our lives then are caught up in that covetousness, that greed, that results in very little thankfulness, very little gratitude. Things are not appreciated. I remember in our home, toys would be left laying around. They would get stepped on and they would break. Children not thankful for what they have. They have so much. And then take not very good care of what we have. And we're all guilty of the same, taking things for granted. Sinfully thinking that what we have is not sufficient. We want more. And thinking sinfully that if only I had what I wanted, then I would be content. And then I would be thankful. This passage sets before us the importance of living in the consciousness of thanking God in everything. Living ever before His face with the awareness that our lives are in the hand of our Heavenly Father. And He's the one who has provided us with everything that we have, the one who sends all the trials, all the afflictions, all the sorrows, and the one then to whom we owe our all. Our minds so easily get stuck on what we don't have. And we think, I don't have much to be thankful for. How can I be thankful, perhaps, when I lost my job, when death has touched my life, and God has taken from me my mother, my father, my loved one? How can I be thankful when I'm struggling with so many difficulties, mentally, with regard to physical life, as well as with regard to my spiritual struggles? How can I be thankful when I can hardly break even, when with my current job and my income, it's a struggle every month in order to meet my needs? How can I be thankful when this past year has been the most challenging and difficult year of my life? Beloved, it's easy to be thankful when all things are going well, but seemingly impossible to be thankful in all things. But we look this morning at God's Word, and by God's grace, we pray that we be thankful in all things, giving thanks in everything. Noting first of all the command, secondly here the extent, and finally the basis. Give thanks. Christian thanksgiving will be unique from the thanksgiving that is experienced in the world around us. As we gather together this morning on this National Day of Thanksgiving, we acknowledge that all around us, people are gathering together in order to show thankfulness, to celebrate Thanksgiving Day. Many do so with good attitudes, with good perspectives. Outwardly, they're good people. They live decent lives. They gather with their neighbors, with their families, to express thanksgiving, even though they may not confess Christ openly. What kind of thanksgiving can someone who doesn't confess Christ have? There are a number of possibilities. They gather together because they believe in luck, and they believe that they've been lucky, and they're thankful then for the good fortune that's come their way. By chance, they have what they have, and they're grateful for those good things, and they try to forget the bad things. Others may be fatalistic, taking merely a perspective that there's a preset course that runs all things that happen in this world, and life happens like a set of dominoes that set up and then falls. And there's some good things that happen, some bad things that happen. Really no one in particular to thank, but to get together then in order to somehow express appreciation for the fact that the dominoes have fallen in a way that was good. Yet others think they're able to control their own destiny. And they then get together to congratulate themselves, to praise themselves. They've been successful this year. They chalk it up to all of their wise decisions, all of their good moves, and the fact that they have been able to govern their lives in such a way that things have worked out well. It's a day of praising self and glorifying man. Some realize there's a God. They're not very happy, though, with that God. They gather to question, why did God bring these evils in my life? Why is God sending these troubles? How does God dare do this to me when I deserve much better? Look at my life. Look at how I'm living. Psalm 10 says, God is not in all His thoughts. There's no fear of God before the eyes of the unbeliever. Their ways are covetous. Their ways are filled with pride, filled with boasting. Beloved, our thanksgiving in this day must be different. And the passage sets before that. God sets that before us again and again throughout His Word. We read in Psalm 16, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. We live in the consciousness of God's presence ever before us. That's why it's appropriate for us on this National Day of Thanksgiving to begin the day in the house of the Lord, setting God ever before us, conscious that He's the one to whom we owe our all. The word thanks literally has the connotation of pointing away from self to another. And how fitting that is for us. Pointing away from self to Jehovah. Conscious that Jehovah God is ever before our face. And as we point away from ourself, we direct our attention then away from our own situation, our own circumstances, our own accomplishments, and we're directed to God, His glory, the greatness of His promises and of His works, the deep consciousness of our debt to Him. Give thanks. Look away from self and direct your attention to Jehovah God and the marvelous wonders that He has performed in your life, the great debt that you owe to Him. Thanksgiving then, pointing away from self and pointing to God, becomes the life of the child of God. Every morning we wake up, we're looking away from self and away from our struggles and trials and challenges to God, the greatness of His glory, His faithfulness, and to His promises. And the child of God is constantly living in that consciousness that I owe everything to God. He's the one who has saved me. He created me and recreated me in Jesus Christ. He's the one who has given me to know the gift of faith. The one who works in me that delight in the things of His kingdom. The child of God consciously is living in connection with God and the debt that he owes to Him. And standing before Him with this confession, He is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's the one in whom I delight. And He's the one for whom I live. Christian thanksgiving, then, is not something new that takes place only one day in the year. Christian thanksgiving is that which flows daily out of the life that we live in the consciousness of God and the debt we owe to Him. Now, there are three specific admonitions that flow together and fit together here in verses 16 to 18. Astounding admonitions. Admonitions that we stand before and say, how could we ever do this? There's no possibility that I can do this. How can I rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks? The only possibility is by God's grace and the wonder of His work in us by His Spirit. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Now, our focus especially is on verse 18, but all three of these hang together. This is who and what the child of God is in the midst of this world. The child of God is one who is rejoicing evermore, who's praying without ceasing, and who in everything is giving thanks. Thanksgiving doesn't stand alone. Thanksgiving is tied with prayer, and it's tied with rejoicing. And that rejoicing and that prayer is an expression of thankfulness, so that we pray without ceasing. And that prayer is a God consciousness. We're standing before the face of Jehovah God, and we're conscious of our complete dependence upon Him. And we know, as the Heidelberg Catechism points out, prayer is the chief expression of thankfulness. This is the way in which I stand before God and acknowledge what I have and what I am is not mine. I owe it all to Him. And I show that concretely, trusting in Him, depending upon Him, and living in that consciousness of His presence daily. Rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord continually. Filled with joy, filled with praise because of the wonder of the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. And the wonder of that salvation lifts me. It lifts me above the trials, the struggles, the difficulties of life. And it works in me an unspeakable joy. I know that blessed hope that is found in Christ. The life that I live now is not an earthly life. It's not a life that's from below. It's not a life that will cease at the moment when I die. It's a life that's from above. It's the life of Christ that's pulsing through my veins. And I know and I believe that though I die, yet I shall live. Unspeakable joy is the fruit of that wonder in our hearts. And we're thankful. Now, why is it that so often we forget to pray when we eat? Why is it that we might be praying in anticipation of a surgery or a trial, and then afterward we give little thought to God and to His care for us? We're not as conscious as we ought be of our dependence on Him. We're not conscious of the fact that every meal that we have, all our food, is from His hand. And so easily we forget that, and we live then in such a way that we don't even think about praying before we eat or after we eat, because we're not living in that consciousness of what a debt I owe unto the Lord. God might lead me through a trial, and when I'm under the gun and when I'm afflicted, I pray, but then afterward, I don't think to pray to Him, to thank Him for what He's done for me, because I'm not as conscious as I should of His presence. I'm grateful for the doctor, for the nurses that cared for me, but for God, for Jehovah God, and for His care and for His love and provision of my need. Beloved, out of that rejoicing in God, out of that praying without ceasing, flows that thanksgiving. And that thanksgiving, in turn, produces prayer without ceasing and everlasting joy and thankfulness. So that the work of God's grace by faith is such that these three all hang together. By nature, impossible. But by God's grace, the fruit of faith in His children. Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Are you in prayer without ceasing? And are you thankful? Beloved, to belong to Jesus Christ means that I know and I believe that I am not my own. I believe that He is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's the one who represents me before the tribunal of God. And He's the one who died in my place, through whom I have been raised to a new life. And He's the one in whom I live and have my being. Belonging to Jesus Christ enables me to be thankful in everything. The fact that I belong to Jesus Christ enables me to rejoice always, without ceasing, acknowledging I don't deserve that union to Him. Who am I? I'm a sinner. I'm a rebel. I've walked in hatred and animosity against Him. I've not taken up my cross and humbly followed Him. Instead, I've rebelled against Him. And yet, in mercy, He loved me. And He assures me of that love. And He gives me every day to know my complete dependence upon Him as I see my sin and I see my sinfulness. And I move to sorrow and to deeply confess how wretched I am and to cling to that Savior who is mine by the wonder of God's goodness. He is my Lord and He is my guide. Beloved, our joy is in the Lord. And that's why we can give thanks in all things. My sins have been forgiven. I have peace with God. And the wonder of that glorious work of God is that I believe that God is truly working together all things for good in my life. I'm able to see that in this past year, God led me through trials, trials that were severe, trials that still plague me. But I'm able to confess it was for my good. God used it to draw me closer to Him. He used it to teach me lessons I could have not learned in any other way. He did it in order to spare me from the covetousness and from the greed that was characterizing my lives. He taught me what was most important in life. And it wasn't the things that are here below. It's my walk with Him and the fellow saints that are so precious to me and the hope that we have together of that heavenly New Jerusalem. I live not for the things here below that are fleeting, but God has used these trials, these afflictions, these sorrows in my life to more and more turn me away from myself so that I point to Christ and live for His glory and for His honor. Beloved, that's the marvelous work of God's grace in your and my lives. And that's the wonder of the gift of faith by which He draws us to Himself and assures us that nothing can separate us from that love with which He's loved us in Christ Jesus. The fruit of that is that we're able to go forward then with thanksgiving in all things. That's the extent that's set forth here. Thanksgiving in everything. Again, beloved, this is sobering. Thanksgiving that comprehends everything, every moment of your life and my life. There's nothing that lies outside of the realm of this text. Now, some have studied this and they've come to the conclusion there is no possibility that this really could be teaching what it seems to teach. And they try to spin it in a different way. They would say, in everything give thanks, but not necessarily for everything. So that while it emphasizes here that we're to give thanks in everything, that's different. In every circumstance of life, we should have a thankful spirit toward God. But in certain situations, we're thanking God for certain things, but we truly are not having to thank God for everything. That would be the spin that some would put on this text, saying that it would be impossible to demand of the child of God that he truly has to be thankful in everything and for everything. Now, it's true that the text does say, in everything, give thanks. But that kind of interpretation contradicts other portions of Scripture. For instance, we have Ephesians 5, verse 20. A very close expression to the same as this passage. Giving thanks always for all things. There we have the time element, as well as for everything. Giving thanks always for all things. How is that possible? God works faith in us by which we believe that even those things that seem to be evil are for our good. God has a purpose behind them. God uses those events in order to keep us from pursuing the path that would lead to destruction, to wake us up sometimes spiritually in order that we might not continue down that passage of covetousness and greed. The evil that we experience comes in the context of God's purpose for everything. The child of God knows that God's purpose behind all the trials of life is my good and my salvation. And the child of God confesses that God is using all things for my good. That's the wonder of God's work. And so that in all these things, even those things that may seem to me to be evil, even those things that I cannot wrap my mind around, how this situation and this circumstance could be good. Why would God want my wife to leave me? Why would God desire my husband to cheat on me? Why would God make it so that this situation would be such that I would lose this one so precious in my life? They seem to be circumstances that would be evil for us. But yet, God works by faith that attitude of thankfulness. That God consciousness by which we look away from self and we look to God. God has a purpose. He's got a plan in this. He's working this together for good. For us to pick and choose what things we're going to be thankful for would not be living in a God consciousness that's required of us. In everything, give thanks. In the midst of every circumstance through which God leads us, the child of God is called to be a thankful person. God not only calls you to live in that circumstance and situation, but He calls you to be thankful. Now again, our flesh struggles with that. It's one thing to be expected to live in it, but to be thankful for it? How difficult. How impossible by nature. Beloved, this is a wonder of grace. And again, we keep coming back to verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. We cling to God. God is the one who by His grace is able and willing to work this wonder within us. He gives us the gift of faith. And by that gift of faith, we lay hold on Him. And we believe that He is the one able to work in us thankfulness in all things, for all things. And if we look at God's work of grace in His children, as we have it recorded for us in the Scriptures, we stand in awe. We see the wonder of this work of faith in the saints. Think of Jonah, swallowed by a great fish. In the belly of that fish, yet conscious. And what do we find Jonah doing in chapter 2, verse 9? Jonah, in the belly of the fish, is praying. And he's praying a beautiful prayer of thankfulness to God. Jonah, in the belly of a fish, is thankful. And throughout that chapter, chapter 2, throughout Jonah's prayer, we find reference to 16 other portions of Scripture. Jonah, in the belly of that fish, has a God consciousness. He's recalling to mind God's Word. And the power of faith by which he clings to the Word of God is such that he's thankful from the belly of a fish. He has no notion that that fish is going to vomit him out. He has no notion that he's going to be standing on dry land shortly. In every expectation, he's going to die. And yet, in that circumstance, that situation, we find Jonah praying to God a prayer of deep thanksgiving for the salvation by which God had delivered his soul. He can't be praying physically for salvation because he's not yet delivered. But he's praying for salvation. God has saved him, a sinner. He tried to run away from God. God caused him to get caught. God brought circumstances in his life that made it so that he had to confess his sin. And now, how appreciative he is that God has so worked in his life. Think of Job. Job experiences the loss of everything. And he's standing in the midst of the corpses of his own children. And what is Job's confession? The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God worked that faith in Job. So that Job, in the context of having lost everything that was precious to him, is able to be thankful in that circumstance and say, blessing. Worshiping God. Think of Joseph in prison in Egypt. He's been wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife. And yet, he never loses sight of God. He stands before God. And that consciousness of God is what bolsters him and carries him through those deep trials and afflictions and gives him also that ability to rejoice evermore, to pray without ceasing, and in everything to give thanks. Think of David when exiled from Jerusalem. David has experienced the rebelliousness of his own son Absalom. What a grief to a father. Absalom now has usurped his place, and Absalom has taken now the throne in Jerusalem, and David is having to flee. And David is fleeing. And whom does God send? Shimei. He meets Shimei along the way, and Shimei is cursing him, saying all kinds of evil things against him. And David's men say, David, we'll just kill him a minute. Let us kill him. And David says, no, no, no. That too is from God. God has sent him, God has put him there, and God is using him in some way for my good. Paul and Silas, imprisoned, on their bloody backs, in a prison cell, bound, no doubt in a very uncomfortable position, singing praise to God, thanking God for God's goodness and God's mercy toward them. Beloved, we could go on and on. God working faith in the hearts of His children and working in them that deep God consciousness whereby they were able to see God's hand in all the circumstances of life, rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, in everything, giving thanks. God gave that, beloved, to you and to me in this past year. And we gather this morning to thank God for that. God led some of you through very difficult trials. You faced cancer. You had experience, severe struggles and difficulties, surgeries. Some of you still recovering from them. We faced the loss of loved ones. Some of us had to have helicopter flights, medically required. God led us through ways that were very difficult and very challenging. And yet, through it all, we look to Him and we confess His goodness. He led us through loss, through depression, through struggles and difficulties. And we look back and we're able to confess, I don't regret the way that God led me. I know it was for my good and it was for my salvation. And it's not just that I don't regret it. I'm able to rise above that by God's grace. And I'm able to say, I'm thankful that God led me this way. Even though it was painful for my flesh, it was necessary for my soul. And through this means, God enables me more fully, not only to know His care and His love, but also to show empathy toward others whom He leads through similar ways. In the midst of suffering and trials, God grants us that grace to live in the consciousness of His presence, His love, and His faithfulness. Consciousness of God is the key to thanksgiving. Looking away to self and looking to Him. And confessing as David confessed in Psalm 39. David finds himself in trouble. And immediately, according to his flesh, he wants to rebel. He wants to speak against God. But he controls his tongue and he bites his lips and he expresses carefulness. He keeps silence instead of rebelling, knowing that if he speaks something, likely he's going to say something he ought not speak. Psalm 46 records that spirit. Be still and know that I am God. Jehovah, He is God. Whatever comes then upon our pathway as God's children, we look to Him. We acknowledge Him as God. And beloved, that's what's unique about the thanksgiving of the child of God. The child of God, in everything, give thanks for everything. By God's grace. That's the absolute language here of our text, and it's the wonder by which God, in His grace, works in His children. This passage does not stand alone. This universal language is found in the promises of God regarding all the circumstances and situations of our lives. Think of Romans 8, verse 28, that beautiful passage. And we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called according to God's purpose. We know God works in us that faith. We believe that everything works together. We can't experience it sometime. We can't imagine how it could be the case. But by faith, we believe that it will be so. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. It's God's glory, not my care and my comfort that's at stake. And as we realize that all things are working toward the glory of God, we give thanks for all things. It's not just a command that's absolute here, but also God's control of all things in our lives is absolute. Whatever our situation, we are able to thank God because we know and believe He's the one who's ordained it. And He's the one who's worked it together. It hasn't occurred in our lives by chance. God, as our Heavenly Father, has ordained it for good. And I have something greater that I can set my eye on. I can set my eye on that hope that I have in Jesus Christ. And I set my eye of faith on that glory that awaits, knowing that these troubles, these trials, are light in comparison to the eternal weight of glory that awaits. All these things come from my Father's hand in love. Beloved, this is a very personal confession that God works in our hearts. Thou shalt guide me and afterward receive me to glory. Psalm 73, the words of Asaph and the words that we sing in Psalter number 203. All things, even death, a part of that counsel, that purpose, that will of Jehovah God. Good for the person who passes away and is able to experience everlasting life, as well as for those who are left behind. All things being used by God to lead us to glory. Christian thanksgiving, then, beloved, is a daily, continual consciousness of God, His power, His purpose in my life, and the fact of His glory, and that all things are directed toward that glorious end. Everything in life pales in comparison to that salvation that is mine in Christ. And everything is swept up in that purpose by which God is going to bring me into the presence of His only begotten Son to live with Him eternally. If I don't have that assurance, if I don't have that hope of salvation, then I would despair. But knowing that loving purpose of God, by grace, we are thankful. And we show that thankfulness. What is the basis for this command? Strikingly, the last part of verse 18 reads, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." There are many reasons for thanksgiving. The Bible is full of them. We could find a whole catalog of reasons why we ought to be thankful to God. And strikingly, here in the passage, what reason is given? This is what God says. This is what God wants. This is God's will for you. Simply put, because God says so. That's why you need to do this. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. This is your and my Christian calling. This is our Christian duty. Just like you children, your mom says you have to eat your carrots or you have to eat your broccoli. That's what you have to do because your parents told you you had to do it. You need to pick up your room. You need to clean up things. This is your duty. It's what you must do because God now comes to you through your parents and gives you that command. Beloved, this is what God commands us to do. Thankfulness is obedience to God. If we're ungrateful, if we're grumbling, we're disobeying God. And that's not just true of the big things. It also must be true of our attitude toward all the details that God sends in our lives. Sometimes we think that we can be ready for the big trials that may come in our lives. But if little things are coming and we can't even cope with them well, how will we ever stand before God with regard to the greater trials that may be required of us? And we're reminded again of our need for His grace and daily looking to Him to grant us that grace sufficient unto the day. The world is filled with unthankful people who are shaking their fists at God continually. How would God dare send them this? How would God dare deal with them in this way? Beloved, by faith, you and I are joyful individuals. We are prayerful individuals. And we are thankful individuals. God works in our hearts that consciousness of His sovereignty, of His glory. And the result is that the child of God is always taking God into account with regard to every circumstance that he or she faces in life. How is it that one escapes bitterness and anger and all of the natural responses of the flesh? God's grace in Jesus Christ. And when those expressions are there, God works in us sorrow and we repent and we cling to Him and we cry out to Him for mercy. So that, beloved, when we wake up in the morning, this must be our spirit, rejoicing, praying, thanking God. As we come to church on a Sunday morning, this is the spirit with which we come, rejoicing, praying, thankful. And beloved, what are you going to be doing in heaven? You're going to be rejoicing. You're going to be thankful. Revelation 11 describes it well. The saints in heaven are filled with joy and they're thankful. So that life that God is working in us now is a life that will be perfected and will continue to all eternity. That thankfulness and that rejoicing, not just temporal, but eternal. And God makes us then, by His wondrous grace, a people worthy of the original purpose for which He created us. What's the first thing that Adam did after God created him? He praised God, he thanked God, and he worshiped God. And that will be our experience to all eternity. When the child of God is not thankful, we need to examine ourselves. That's not the way in which a child of God is to conduct his or herself. That's the way a worldly individual would. That's the way of our nature. We might become overwhelmed with life and overwhelmed with the circumstances and situations of life. But then we look away from self to God, His faithfulness, His fatherly love, and His care for us, and His provision of our needs. We repent and we turn to Him and we acknowledge our gratitude and thankfulness. And ultimately, beloved, this is the reason why and the reason and the wonder that God works in us. In pride, man believes he deserves better. We know what we deserve. We deserve hell. We don't deserve anything. And therefore, as we stand before God, we're humbled to the dust. I cannot, in pride, stand before God and demand anything of God. I deserve everlasting damnation in hell. But God has rescued me. He's given me to know Christ, and in Him, salvation. And in Him, I'm thankful. Now again, beloved, we can respond, this is impossible for me. No one understands what I'm going through. How could you expect this of me when I have all of these various things going on in my life? Beloved, none of us knows the burdens completely that others are required to bear. Often we look at others and we think, boy, they have it pretty good in comparison to what we have. But we don't really know. But it doesn't really matter, does it? Jehovah God is our Father. And the circumstances are not barriers to our thankfulness. What stands in the way is not the circumstances, but it's the sin. And that's what we have to acknowledge. It's not the circumstances that are the problem. It's my sin. It's my selfishness. It's the way in which I'm responding. God, by His grace, works humility. What are some of those things that can stand in the way of even a Christian's expression of thanksgiving? Doubt concerning God's ability and God's power and God's promises. So often that stands in the way of my thankfulness and my gratitude. I question, can God really deliver me? Can God really do this? Is God really able to? Selfishness and self-will. I want to do my own thing, but God's will intervenes with my will. And so that selfishness keeps me then from the thankfulness and gratitude I ought be showing. Worldliness, the pleasures of life and all of the things that this life has to offer. And I define life then in terms of what I have and what I don't have. Sometimes it can be that I have a critical spirit, a negative spirit, so that it blinds me of God's goodness and God's mercy and God's love. Sometimes, beloved, we can be impatient with God. We're ungrateful because God's not doing things according to our timetable. And that works in us then, a lack of thankfulness. Sometimes we can become cold, indifferent to spiritual things. Outwardly, we're going through the motions, but we don't give our things to the things of God with the passion that we ought. We're not serving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that lack of passion shows itself then in a lack of thankfulness. Sometimes, beloved, it's flat out rebellion. I don't like what God's doing in my life. I'm envious of others, and I'm angry with God. Again, it's not the circumstances that are the problem. It's the sin that's rising up in my soul that's a hindrance to gratitude. How is it possible to be thankful? Not to change the circumstances. The circumstances are not going to change anything with regard to my spirit. But overcoming that sin. Repenting, beloved. And looking to Christ. And it's striking that the apostle states that. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Apart from Christ, it would be impossible. But in Christ, by the power of His Spirit, this is the work of God in and through you and me. God has joined me to Himself by faith. And I live out of that faith. And I follow Him as His disciple. And I'm filled with His Spirit. That's the possibility, beloved, of obedience. Filled with His Spirit. Living out of that faith. And that enables me then to put all things in perspective. It enables me to rejoice evermore. To be praying without ceasing. And to be thankful in all things and for all things. God is my Father. He loves me. He does all things for my good. His promises are sure. And I live daily in that consciousness. Beloved, that's how a family who's lost a loved one is able at the grave to sing, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." With tears running down their cheeks, they praise God. They thank God, as did Job, as the one who gives, but also the one who takes. Thankfulness in all things is looking to Jesus as the author and the finisher of my faith. I deserve death and hell, but He came to give me a life that is from above. And in Him, I lay aside the weights then, the sins that so easily beset me and would pull me down. I have a purpose, and I rejoice evermore. I pray without ceasing, and I'm thankful in everything. Amen.